was his name? Andy Kaufman's character? Wore the lounge jacket. Real piece of shit.
Bill Burr yelled at him.
I can't remember his name,
There was a... Did you ever see that? When Bill Burr yelled at him?
Yeah.
It was Tony... God, what the hell is his name? Tony... He was... Had that kind of voice. Hey, this was me. I'm Tony so-and-so. Clifton. Tony Clifton. Tony Clifton. One of the funniest moments, I think, that Bill Burr ever had. It was on that show with, Paul something. But he had a show on... I want to say Comedy Central. Shit, I'm forgetting all this stuff. Too much sugar today. He had a show on Comedy Central where he would get, like, the round table, like what Bill Maher used to do.
Yep.
But it was all a comedy. And he'd get these comedians in for, like, Just for Laughs or whatever it was.
Yep.
And it was Bill Burr, Russell Peters, Colin Quinn, the Canadian actress, Caroline Ray. And I can't remember who else was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they were all hanging out together. And Tony Clifton was in the audience. Just, like, trying to be funny, but at the same time, like, you know, being really offensive.
Yeah.
And I think at some point he called, what's his name from 30 Rock and SNL? Black guy.
Yeah.
Car accident from the Walmart truck.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, what's his name? Comedian. Hilarious. Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, yeah.
He called Tracy Morgan the N-word or something to try to be funny. And Bill Burr went, like, full dad mode. After already being annoyed by Tony Clifton.
Yeah.
He just turns around and he's like, shut the fuck up, Tony. And like the crowd, like everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
The crowd was quiet.
You can tell he meant it. Yeah.
Dude, he totally meant it. I mean, like Colin Quinn, everybody just kind of got up and like jokingly walked away. But you could tell everybody was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And Russell Peters is just like next to, because him and Bill Burr are buddies.
Yeah.
Russell Peters next to him. And the look on his face like, oh, so dad enters the chat. It was like, it was so
awkward. Is that
awkward.
Russell Peters wearing the cream colored suit?
I think so. He's wearing like a pink or a cream suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not Tough Crowd. Tough Crowd is Colin Quinn's show, right?
Yeah, Colin Quinn's wife is in that too, right?
We're already up.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Colin Quinn's wife? Who's Colin Quinn's wife?
Colin Quinn's wife, the other one. She's a comedian too. She
Caroline Ray.
Caroline Ray.
Yeah, she was next to Colin Quinn. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's who was next to him. I can't remember who the other lady was. But she was like a writer on Backside Attack.
At Big Save.
She was a writer, I think, like on The Daily Show and some like Comedy Central shows.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there have been a few times. I think another one was like during a Kill Tony. Mm-hmm. Man, Tony. Bill Burr just like smashes guys named Tony. It was during like a Kill Tony set where they weren't giving I don't think Bill Burr quite knew what goes on those things. Like it felt like he wasn't like wise to the
okay, so it was probably his first time there. He just got invited there, right?
It might have been because mm-hmm. like Kill Tony's kind of like it's a one everybody has to get on stage and do like a 1 minute set
mm-hmm.
and then they you caught it. I was gonna warn you and you didn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're like a pro now.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go over a little bit more and then I'll come over a little bit more and now we're centered.
Yeah.
There was like the Kill Tony thing was going on and Bill Burr kind of sits in and it's a 1 minute set where a fresh comedian comes up and does his bit.
Yeah.
And then Tony Hinchcliffe and then whoever else is there, they'll kind of like just smash the guy. They'll roll.
Yeah, they didn't even let him get started. Yeah, and then Bill Burr said like, you know, give the guy a fucking chance.
Right.
Like, what is it? And he threatened to leave. He's like, he goes, well, I'm not going to stay here if this is what it's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. He came in there and he's like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like we're being unnecessarily aggressive to these guys.
Yeah.
It's like, give the guys a chance. And how about we don't crush your self-esteem? And it was like, the crowd was with Bill Burr and they were kind of like, because they're a Kill Tony crowd.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to be on the wrong side of justice. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Johnny Law.
What's the guy's name on Joe Rogan's podcast? Didn't he tell that guy, like, told Bill Burr to, like, go count your fucking money? That's what he said to him.
I'm talking to Hinchcliffe. Somebody said it to him. No, like, somebody said something like that.
Who's that really, like, aggressive, like, Diaz guy from Joe Rogan podcast?
Was it Joey Diaz?
Yeah, Joey Diaz. He said
was
that
he
to
there?
Him. Yeah, he was there too.
I don't know if
that was at the stand-up one where they were criticizing this.
Yeah,
that yeah, he was there and he said, "Count your go count your fucking
should
money."
Should you be counting your fucking money?
Yeah, I think that was him. Yeah,
it was somebody. I don't remember Joey Diaz being there, but that sounds like something he'd say.
Yeah,
but it was just it felt like Burr just went into this full dad mode.
Yeah,
which is like I kind of feel like with comedians, especially, you need those guys. Like, there's not a lot of them left. They can kind of like, you know, cut the comedy for a little bit and just make things like, hey, man, we're going to reset the tone.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, everybody's kind of being a dick. Let's reset the tone and get back to where it's supposed to be.
I agree. Yeah.
Fuck, I love when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of something I was thinking about this week, not to like carry on to a rant. I don't think I've understood. I think I've always misunderstood the concept of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tend to say like, I had a weird kind of an upbringing where I did a lot of, like, I learned how to kind of like man up myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that I did by myself. I was 16 when I was kind of like, you know, thrust into being a man.
And taught myself how to drive stick, taught myself how to properly shave, all that kind of stuff that you would hope a father figure would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really shown the proper respect to other men, like growing up, who tried to kind of be like, hey man, like this is how you do things. I was always like, fuck you, I'm good, I don't need your help.
Mm-hmm.
I was always very much like that. But if I liked somebody, I would let them kind of get as much, like I would give them more rope, like to kind of hang himself with.
Yeah.
Like in my presence. Not that I'm like some big fucking guy. It's just like, that's just how my mentality was. But I think I've always misunderstood that is my way of showing somebody the proper respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's essentially what respect is, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah.
I guess. Giving somebody more than enough rope in like, you know, to like to let them get away with more, give them more leeway with how they speak to you. To be polite in their presence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't curse around certain people. I've got certain friends and family members who don't curse, so I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's like kind of like what I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my idea of it. And that occurred to me today. I'm like, oh my God, that's what respect is. Like, instead of just telling everybody to go F themselves, which is kind of like my default setting.
Yeah. The opposite of that is respect.
The opposite. What's the opposite of shame?
Yeah.
Respect?
Yeah.
No, not that far from shame.
Yeah.
Less shame?
I know, yeah. I think the opposite of what you're talking about is the opposite of that. I think one of the symptoms of the opposite of that is the self-entitlement that's going on, that is rampaging through the United States.
Right.
Yeah, just before I came here, I was actually listening to an episode of Piers Morgan, and he was just commentating on, like, there's this one lady, I guess she was immensely overweight, okay? And so she
plane
was,
thing?
Yeah, the plain thing. So she said, we should live in a world where we shouldn't feel disrespected or embarrassed about our weight.
Mm-hmm.
So they should give us extra seats for free on an airplane.
She is a troll though.
She is. Yeah. And so I'm like, so let me get this straight. We have to up the, we have to pay for extra costs
right.
to accommodate you for like not being able to physically take care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
She's in. Like, to bring some context, she's done this a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to be about 500 pounds if she's... I mean, she's not tall.
No. I would give her, like, to be honest with you, like, I think I would give her, like, 300.
300?
I would give her 300.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Maybe that's me, like, misjudging how
tall I just she saw her is. Head. It was a perfect sphere, and it looked like a pumpkin.
Yeah, I mean, to put into context, I'm finally back up to 195.
Mm-hmm.
So she is... If she's my height at 300, I think she might be bigger.
But you have a lot of muscle mass.
Yeah, good, like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks big. Like, yeah, she looks really big.
Yeah, she looks... She's blubber. Yeah.
So she could be like 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah,
but 300.
She's, yeah, but she's... Yeah, she's stacked. Like, I think her fat has like solidified.
A stack of toonies.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like $8 of toonies.
Yeah, she's $8 of toonies right. in one like bicep.
Right.
Or when everybody else or whatever, where the muscle's supposed to be anyway.
She big. And she's done that a lot where she's kind of walked up and said, like, you know, well, I show Instagram and tweet and Twitter or what's the other one? The TikTok. She does all that shit where she walks up talking about how, like, I should get an extra seat and I'm amazing. I'm beautiful. I'm gorgeous. I'm great the way I am.
Yeah.
I think she's got issues. Like, she actually has like health issues, like heart disease. I guess it's not great for you to be that big in the way she looks. You can be body positive. Nobody's saying that's wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, you know, you're just, if you're using that, if you're using your weight
right.
to like be a troll and go out there and expect people to like, and be self-entitled and expect people to do things for you and people to bend to your will instead of like, you know what, instead of doing that, why don't you just like spend all that extra time and effort and then why don't you just get yourself to a gym and then to eat healthy and then see where that takes you.
It doesn't take much to get yourself. That's the thing I think like that bothers me the most is there's definitely a body positivity that comes in with like not looking like everybody else. I don't think everybody needs to have like rock hard abs and a six pack. If you're not a Men's Health or a fashion magazine model, then I don't think you need to look like them. No. But that's to go so far the other way to where it's almost like a screw you, this is who we are kind of thing. I think that's as wrong. That's as wrong as propping up like a Men's Health Jay Cutler on the cover of fucking bodybuilding magazine. Like, I think it's as bad as that.
Yeah, like there's nothing wrong with being overweight. But she's, from what I've seen, she's unhealthy. And so, but it's just the attitude.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't like
the entitlement.
The entitlement is
I should get a new, I should get an extra seat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have no problem with people being overweight, but if you're using that as an excuse,
right.
Because you just want to get something for free.
Yeah.
And troll everybody else who thinks otherwise, instead of like really taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I have an issue with.
That's why I agree completely.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real issue with people who use that as some sort of like clout.
Yeah.
To kind of, because everybody's so scared right now to say, what they think about somebody else's image.
Yeah.
To be, look, man, I mean, that idea of don't judge a book by their cover, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
I think you shouldn't exactly judge somebody by their cover. But if I'm going to get health advice, I'm definitely not going to look at somebody who is 5'2" and 300 pounds and has never been in a gym.
Yeah. If the covers are crackling, then yeah, you have problems.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Then you got problems. If that's how you want to be, I don't think that you should in any kind of seriousness be talking about anything that has anything to do with health.
If anything, I think what you could do is be the poster child for someone you know what? I'm overweight.
Right.
And then, you know what? This is my journey to getting in shape.
Right.
And then you know what? Let me go the other direction.
Right.
And just be a beacon for people. You know what? Stop mm-hmm. this. And there's just too many people out there like me who's doing this. And then, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to do this instead of trying to make money by being famous.
Exactly.
And doing nothing and just going on TikTok and going on Instagram and making a fool out of myself.
When it comes right down to it, and I mean, I'm not a parent, but I do have, I'm surrounded by kids all the time. I've got lots of, young family that I'm always trying to, put a positive spin on things with. It's just shitty parenting. I mean, I've got my niece and nephews, and who I looked at, I was hanging out with them today, and we're always in something physical. The one, I've got him into breakdancing. It's just, something he wants to do. I can see him kind of doing stuff that look like breaking. So I'm I'll just put on breakdance videos. Yeah. And that's what we do. And he stays healthy, man. He's always moving around. He's doing races in school. He wants to be the fastest kid in school.
There you go.
So I kind of get him into the Flash and then we race. We run around. We do things all the time. The one is really she does all these gymnastics things. So I've got her doing handstands. So I go to the old Instagram or YouTube and I bring up the handstand videos and I show her how to get better at it. And little by little by little, they're all getting stronger and healthier and just physically fit. And it's becoming a part of their day-to-day routine.
Yeah, and it's something you can do with them.
There's something you can do with them.
And I think the only thing, no one did that for her.
Nobody did that for her.
No.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. It's your parents didn't do that for you.
Yeah, and they didn't teach you they didn't teach you how to be a good person. So well,
that too.
I'm not sure if they did, but maybe they did and you just forgot it. Who knows?
Maybe not good. I think saying they're not a good person is a little too far. They're not being a productive person.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, there you go.
Because what are you doing? You're trying to promote this thing that you are as if it's okay. When I don't think it's okay. I don't think being that weight is good to promote as the next, an evolution in humanity.
Yeah, and there's the entitlement is just out of control. And there was another video of at Stanford University, they had a judge that was appointed by Donald Trump and he showed up for a talk or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stanford students, one of the most elite schools in the world.
Right.
Yeah, they're all booing him. They're like,
man,
what? I was like, okay, whatever.
I think that's total bullshit. It's when they did the whole thing with, was it Ruben? When he went to go to that speech, he had a little, not speech, he had a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids came in and they pull fire alarms and they're banging metal pots with wooden handles.
Yeah, they're
not letting him.
Yeah, talk. They're like the black shirts and the brown shirts from World War II.
Right. Yeah, exactly that. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is making noise, push your agenda because you don't think what they have to say is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, you remember the Bill Maher deal with Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yeah.
When Bill Maher had him on, and then at that time, Milo Yiannopoulos had, I think, already talked about the, hey, it's okay if your priest diddles your dick when you're 13.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great relationship with my molester. He was doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, yo, buddy, I know we were kind of laughing at when you're being flippantly, maybe possibly goofball and racist, but we were already off board. And then the whole priest thing happened. So now we're now we know you're a piece of shit. Yeah. Oh, so you are a racist. Yeah,
his whole thing was turn the volume up past 11.
Way past 11, right? Yeah. And that was the character, we thought.
Yeah.
And then Bill Maher brings him on. He does a whole thing where he doubles down. Mm. He just doubles down. Bill Maher was almost giving him a chance to be hey, you want to explain yourself?
Yeah.
How it's not really racism, you're just being a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really you're into pedophiles, you're just kind of being a stupid piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm cool with all that stuff. And then Bill Maher's response was, and I don't think Bill Maher deliberately thought I'll bring him on and I'll expose him to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But his response was, sunlight is the best disinfectant. So he tried to use this whole idea of see what I did? I exposed Milo. It's no. You didn't expose him. You just let him talk and he exposed himself.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You just gave him an outlet.
But that is what the liberal arts kids and the hardcore left needs to do.
Yeah.
You don't show up and bang a drum. You let him speak.
Yeah.
Because you're going to find out. I mean, now we know who you are. Now it's maybe you have things in common. Maybe you have it's Ann Coulter recently talking about the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
How you should only ban abortion for card-carrying Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else should get to do what they want to do. Yeah. Ann Coulter, hardcore right wing, in the last 10 years has gradually changed her mind over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe letting her have a platform and letting her talk and listening to her as shitty as she was and still kind of is, she's gradually changing her mind on a lot of stuff. Like, if you don't try to shut them down and you don't drown them out with, like, white noise, mm-hmm. well, maybe you find out that you have more in common and dialogue happens and discourse happens. And next thing you know, you all start to meet in the middle.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I think it's just more like, instead of, like, I was using the term instead of changing minds,
right?
More open to more ideas. Yeah, right. So, like that's why I think you should listen to everybody. Like, whether you disagree, whether you agree with them or not,
mm-hmm.
if you said it time and time again, if you always listen to someone who's coming in, if they're like a staunch supporter of a certain issue and they're either schooled in it or mm-hmm. have a strong like opinion of it or steadfast in their opinion of it, listen to them. Listen to everybody.
Yep. Even if you think they've been indoctrinated.
Yeah, you can have a more informative, like you can inform it. You can create your own opinion based on certain things. Like, you know what? I didn't listen to this guy, but I just hate this. I just can't stand this person.
Right.
But then if you listen to them, you're like, you know what? I gave them a chance. I heard them. Now I know what they're all about. So I can make a more informed opinion of them and of myself. I'm like, I can do an audit on my own thinking and be like, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Or like now I'm like, you know what? Now I'm sure I'm right.
Right. Yeah. Now either I know. Or, I'm
so, but at least you know.
I just had something similar kind of happen to me where there was a fella and we've talked about it. I think we talked about it off camera because I don't think I did it here. But there's a fella who I met at a function. And I couldn't stand him. Like, the way he was talking, like, he was trying to, like, almost bring that. Like, he was the kind of guy who brings his noise level higher than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that you listen to him first. And then he lowers his tone when everybody else starts talking. He ramps him back up again.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about that.
I told you about this guy. And when I first met him, I was like, fuck this guy. Like, I have no time for you, man. Like, mm-hmm. you're so frustrating. Then I met him again under different circumstances. God damn, do I think I like this dude? Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, like, he's way more friendly in the same social setting. So I don't know what his day was like before, like, mm-hmm. the last time I met him. But this time I bumped into him. We had a great conversation. Changed my mind completely on the guy. Because I don't like to just drown guys. I wasn't going to walk in there and be like, I'm going to do the same thing this guy did to me at the last party. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get noisy and just drown him out.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. We were just joking back and forth. Next thing I know, we're having like a pleasant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In the same type of setting, he's not a terrible person at all. My opinion changed. Your opinion should be allowed to change.
Yeah. Like, especially when you disagree with someone, like when you really disagree with somebody and you're like, without listening to them and they show up, you're just like, how much energy did you expend, like, just being angry
mm-hmm.
and just be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, especially when you see students who like show up to lectures and they're, whether it's right wing or someone from the Daily Wire or whatever it is.
Ben Shapiro
or those guys from like anybody from there. And then they say like, you know, get the fuck out. We won't listen to you and stuff like that. Even the people who yell at Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is. But then like, or Matt Walsh or whoever it is. But if you actually sit there and like, you're like, you know what, just sit there and have a question and then wait for a response. And you'll be like, you know what? Because all those kids who yell and stuff like that, they're just like pissed off for no reason. Like you're just angry and you're screaming for no reason.
Right. But they're also, I don't know, this is a very like basic view of them from my perspective. They're also not completely educated in the opinion they're arguing against.
Yeah, they're not.
And they don't want to be. And they're childish. Like they're,
it's very childish. That's a good way to put it. Cause like, yeah, you hear them like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Petulant. They're petulant. They're noisy. They're childish. It's like they haven't fully formed their brains yet.
No,
but they think the way I'm going to get myself, it's like, we used to work in bars and go to mosh pits,
but sorry to cut you off.
No, but that's who they are. They're the mosh pit.
Yeah. People. But it's also because of what they're taught in those universities as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that too.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
That could be an underlying factor.
That could be an underlying factor, exactly. They go to these universities where they're not fully educated
mm-hmm.
in the opposite argument. They're indoctrinated from one side about, like, you know, the same person who they are now has grown up and is now indoctrinating them with the same ideas.
Yeah.
They're stuck in an echo chamber. They're not willing to go out of the echo chamber. They're mm-hmm. not willing to learn what they're mad about. They just know they're mad because that guy is wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, then that becomes like a huge thing, right? So they just do that. Like, have you read this article that came out, I think today or a couple of days ago, in the last week or so, how Gen Z is harder to keep employed
mm-hmm.
by like larger employers, like Fortune 500 companies. They're harder to keep employed than Gen X or millennials.
Really?
Yeah, because they're exactly what we just said. They're petulant. They're far more entitled.
Yep.
They get the whole hurt feelings.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah. The hurt feelings idea happens very quickly with them.
Yep.
They're everything is an affront to their ideals, and the indoctrination starts to crumble a little bit with them. And next thing you know, they just leave or they get fired.
Yeah, like that's what I whenever I go to client site, one thing I always have my computer ready to print out, hurt feelings report.
Yeah. Oh man. Is that what they call it now? The HR report is
a hurt feelings report? Yeah, you can actually get one from the online. It's called the hurt feelings report.
Jeez,
man. And it is so, it's so good. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, oh, hi. In volume, can you put in milliliters? Can you put down how many tears you cried today?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something you can hand out
I handed it out. Yeah.
Did you hand them out?
Oh yeah. Cause when we joke around at the office, we're like, hey, Roger, what do you like? Hey man, like if I made fun of somebody, we're like, yeah, I'm like, oh, here's a report. You can fill this out.
Well, that's what I kind of mean, right?
And report it back to me so I can tear it up and throw it away.
Yeah. With you and like people who are millennials or Gen X, like you, we can do that.
Yeah, we can.
Like we can still have those dialogues. Those kind of like back and forth. Like, you know, if somebody gets butt hurt on something, you can still kind of make a few jokes like that.
Yeah.
Just set him straight, right? Mm-hmm. There's a great, again, another great, it might have been Vice or something, where a guy is walking around in a full sombrero in the Mexican garb. Like, actually, like, fairly nice, colorful Mexican gear. What would look like typical, what we would say, like, Speedy Gonzales would be dressed as.
Yeah. Or, what's his face from Three Amigos? The villain?
Oh! No, Calavera was the... No. He's Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, we have to figure this out. His name is... El Wapo.
El Wapo.
Yeah.
Like what he would be dressed as.
Yeah.
But like new. Like newer stuff,
it's
right?
It's a sweater.
So the dude's walking around like a very liberal, artsy kind of crowd. And he's like, is this racist? And every single one is like, are you Latino? Are you Mexican? Well, they probably said Latinx.
Yeah.
Are you Latinx? Are you Latino? Are you Mexican? And he's like, no, I'm just wearing this. So like, yeah, then it's a racist for sure. Everybody. And he goes into like, it looked like East LA. A lot of like older Latino men who have like clearly lived the life hard. And he's like, is this racist? I'm like, no, you look good.
Yeah.
You look fine. Why is it racist? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very nice what you're wearing. It's good. Mm-hmm. Are you, do you like it? Like, you know, are you an asshole?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I like it. This is neat.
This looks great. This
he's
is
like,
cool.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like across the board, everybody who he talked to that was over 35, probably over 40, was kind of like, nah, it's fine. Who gives a shit? Uh-huh. It's like, we don't care.
No.
It's like, nobody cares except for these people who want to care as some sort of like, it's recreational.
Yeah, they're professionally pissed off.
They're professionally pissed off.
Yeah.
They're recreationally pissed off.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
So I have a smart water?
You can. That's your smart water.
Yeah. I looked at it. I'm like, wait a minute. I left that somewhere.
I love that smart water somewhere. I've been looking at that smart water all week. I've been looking at that smart water. Mm-hmm. That kind of like makes me feel about the, I know we drag it here a lot. Like I drag it a lot. But the whole trouble with Apu, same deal. It's like, I can't really see anybody, or I can't, like, if I ask my mom, or I ask older family members, even, like, family members in my age group, like, who was Apu to you? And they're like, Apu, either he's a goofy character on The Simpsons, or, like, Apu's boss. Like, Apu is boss level.
Yeah.
He owns his own business. He's, like, swarthy. He's got the shirt.
Yeah.
He's sexy. He's got a wife. He's got kids. He's functional. He's a great character. But, you know, they don't think about the whole Hank Azaria is playing him with that tanking, whatever it is. That's not an issue. Because he's not presented as a joke. I'm more offended by how they present Canadians than I am with Apu.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
Right? The Canadians getting stung by the scorpions in the Japanese game show?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is more insulting than how Apu is portrayed.
Yeah, because they're insulting our country. Whereas, like, Apu is just like, that's a stereotype that happens, but yeah. I think, but it celebrates it. But it wasn't like one off character. They made him an integral part of the show.
Yeah. I mean, him not being there bums me out.
Yeah.
Like Apu not being on the show, or when they did represent his like character in heaven.
Yeah.
I'm like, so is he dead? Like, cause that fucking sucks. Like, yeah. I don't want Apu to be dead. Mm-hmm. I like Apu.
Yep.
Let him come back. Explain it. But it's like every time they tried to explain it, it was just like another insult.
Insult. Yeah.
There's another like, oh, like, you know, you're just saying that because like, yeah, that's your old white man mentality. About how old things that were great once are shit now. It's like, well, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, everything becomes garbage.
Every
phrase becomes shit.
Everything old becomes great again. So
it's true, right? I mean,
like, it's true.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's damn true. Like people of color. Could you imagine if in like 1968 you would say, hey, look, it's a bunch of people of color.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the late 70s. That wouldn't be accepted at all.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, we are people of color. It's like, are you sure you want to go with that? Like, are you sure you want to go with people of color?
Yeah. There's a, you know, I was watching the other day. Actually, I watch it every night. Is MASH reruns still?
It's a great show. I know we talk about it a lot, but you're right to talk about it.
It is. Yeah. So, Hawkeye is my favorite. Yeah. My favorite lead character in any show ever.
Hawkeye is, I mean, we said it before, right? Mm-hmm. He is the best representation of what an alpha actually is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's jokey to the shitty guys. He's like caring and nurturing to the good people.
Yeah.
Like, he's always trying to get a little bit of tail, but, you know, he's never.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you watch season one and two, him and Trapper are just like, they just crush everything in sight. They're hilarious. They're
great characters.
Yeah. And, but they're really loving people. They cut the shit. The thing is, like, even their insults are like just great to this day.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. And then I was watching one episode where like John Ritter was on.
Yeah.
He made his debut acting in like in MASH. It's hilarious how he's using there. All of a sudden he's like, yeah, he's like lying in bed. Then all of a sudden he gets up. He's like, I'm gonna go back to the line. You shut your trap, mister. And he's like, he goes back to bed.
That is when, didn't Ritter, like, his character was like a troublemaker, wasn't he?
No, he's just, he didn't want to go back to the line.
He didn't want to go back.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. I thought he was like a troublemaker and he's like, he was doing stuff to like, he wasn't a deserter. He just didn't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's having a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. What's that line again? I think Trapper made a point and then Hawkeye just looks at him and he's like, the instrument hasn't been developed yet. To measure disdain for your comment.
Something like that, right? Yeah. Was it Trapper or was it
No, it was Trapper.
Was it Trapper who said it?
No, it was he was seeing it to Trapper.
Oh, because they were on the outs.
Yeah,
they had a whole thing, they're on the outs.
Just for like that one time.
Yeah.
He said it to him and I'm like, that is, you can use that for forever.
All those old shows were written so well.
So brilliantly.
They're so well written.
Yeah.
So we like speaking about older things, we just went and saw Superman the movie.
Oh, how was it?
Incredible, man. It was on the 18th, April 18th, 1938 that's the copyright date for Superman.
Yeah.
So it's now become the de facto like anniversary of Superman. So it's been 85 years.
Yeah.
So I went with a neighbor there, good old Justin from the block. And then me and Mike went and checked it out on Tuesday because Mike hadn't seen it either. So mm-hmm. He wanted to go take a look. And watching it two times, I was able to kind of like really sink my teeth into it. For practical effects, my God, like some of the breastiest, because, you know, he had the big titties.
Yeah.
Some of the best practical effects
mm-hmm.
that still hold up on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entire helicopter sequence when it's a live, large helicopter
mm-hmm.
with spinning blades that are moving around a building, just like about to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
The sequence when he flies up and he grabs Lois and they're like, who's got you? And like, if you've got me, who's got you?
Yeah.
Then he grabs a helicopter and puts it down. It's all practical.
Yeah, it's all practical.
It looks incredible. It looks like a guy is grabbing the helicopter and putting it back on the pad.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he like jumps into action and kind of commands the guys, like, fellas, there's a guy there who needs help. You got that. I'm out. Like, well, that's why Captain America looks so good in the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They lifted that directly from Superman.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. I think that's where like maybe Michael Mann stole that from Heat. As soon as on the first crime scene when mm-hmm. they show up and Vincent Hanna was like he shows up and he's like, yeah, this I want this right. what happened here and then he's like yeah, I want the explosive, I want this, blah blah blah. You could check check Slick in the
right.
You're gonna get the encyclopedia, do it anyway, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure like that's the
I just love that when people just take control of the situation. Control. Yeah.
That might not be directly lifted from that, but like,
well, it just reminds me of it.
But it's those characters resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you do get a character who does that, you're like, that's the man in charge.
Yeah, it's like almost like it's not even a throwaway scene, but it's like an important scene. But at the same time, you can watch it and be like, that's just great acting.
Right.
Yeah.
It defines who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching a thing on Pacino. He's getting interviewed when he talked about how when they're having the conversation with Hank Azaria.
Mm-hmm.
Voice of Apu. Then the conversation with Hank Azaria about the girlfriend there. Val Kilmer's wife, the girlfriend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the little office wherever he worked. That whole sequence, he acts the way he acts because he's supposed to be coked up.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be coked out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's acting is like, well, you know, we had to tell you without telling you. Mm-hmm. So the way we told you was the whole great ass sequence.
Yeah.
It's like he's coked out of his mind.
Because
mm-hmm. everybody kind of has this. That is the one flaw of Hannah's character.
Yeah.
Is that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so erratic.
He's erratic. He's out of control.
He's out of control. And he's like, that is a scene that tells you, if you're really paying attention, that he's so far gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a reason that he can't keep a wife. He's barely holding down his like sanity as a cop.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's an attack dog and he's coked up.
Yeah, and there's foreshadowing too, and he tells his wife, he's like, all I am is what I'm going after.
Well, I am. That's what I'm going after, baby.
Yep.
That's who I am.
Yep.
That's Hannah.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
He's great, yeah.
What a great character.
Yeah, they're just, he's just a flip side of a coin.
Yes, now you're just writing dialogue.
Well, he is. Like,
You're just writing really good dialogue.
The situation that he's like right. about with those two, but like those two, that's actually like a metaphor for like those two as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a flip side of a coin.
Yeah. Because that's what De Niro says to him after when he says like you're going down and he's like yeah there's a flip side to that coin
there's a flip yeah that's right
but he's like but those two guys are just literally that's like that's what they are
for sure
yeah they're like that loony right there
yeah you are gonna do
their heads and tails
yep. definitely loony you are gonna do what you're gonna do to the best of your ability
yeah
and I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do to the best of my ability which is not going back to prison
yeah and then there's a prequel or coming out right
a prequel to Heat
yeah there is and Michael Mann's working on it
I don't know about that. That's I mean, look, Heat is so good.
Yeah.
Heat is just one of those perfect movies to me. And having a prequel, the prequel to Gladiator. It's like, how do you even, or the sequel to Gladiator, how do you even pull that off?
Confirms the sequel is already underway.
Sequel is.
Yeah, sequel, yeah.
Tough, man. I don't know.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I mean, are you going to get Pacino back? Is Pacino going to be a very old Hannah?
It'll be a very large movie.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, so yeah.
In Michael Mann, I trust, though. Like, there's not a lot that he's going to do where I'm going to have... That made me nervous, man. I got my little metal clicker there, and you threw your phone, your brand new
it's
Samsung.
It's insured.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about, like, I'm sick of sequels entirely.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sick of sequels. I'm sick of remakes. I'm sick of reboots.
How about something original?
Give me something original. Yeah. I would like a brand new original story. The only sequel that I'm looking forward to, that I think I've ever kind of looked forward to, in the last 20 years or so, is City Primeval, the Justified sequel series.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of rewrote the book to add Raylan into it. Mm-hmm. So now he's the main cop going back to Detroit. So I'm very excited for that. But outside of that, like I couldn't care less. I think that might have only happened because of the way he plays a different version of Raylan on The Mandalorian.
Mm.
He basically plays the same character from Justified as the Marshal in The Mandalorian.
I think the only sequel I'm looking forward to is The Marvels.
I mean, why wouldn't you be looking forward to that? I mean, you're a huge Marvel Comics fan.
Yeah, I think it's one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah. Bad.
Yeah,
they're all so bad right now.
It looks so cheap. It looks like, honestly, if you gave us a budget of like $10,000, I think we could have shot that on with my phone.
I mean, that's a good phone.
Yeah, it's like it looks terrible.
I'll tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like how all of it is just churned out so fast. There's no chance these are going to be good.
No, they're going to be terrible.
Like, there's no... before, it felt like if you saw Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2 didn't come out the next year.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, you're basically making the same idea they have for the TV shows, where it's like, you make a season. Well, we're just doing that with movies now.
Yeah, I think they're... Because everyone knows, like, Marvel knows that everyone hates Brie Larson.
Right.
And so, and hates that character. So I think this is a way of kind of humanizing her and bringing her down to, like, a more likable... That's not going to work.
It's tough, man, because you've already blown it.
Yeah, you've already blown it.
You took a likable person and you effed that up.
Yeah, there's scenes where Kamala Khan, well, I think that's her name. She gets transported to this little dark hallway where she's attacked, it looks like a cheap version of a Tron set. And these guys attack her, that other girl on the moon. The costumes look like they're there. You can get those from anywhere.
It's awful, man.
It looks so cheap.
It's true, though. Like, some of those costumes you get now where they're, like, all spray-painted.
Yeah.
They look way better in some of the costumes you're using in the movies.
Yeah, so you look at that terrible, terrible-looking movie, mm-hmm. and Samuel L. Jackson's in that.
Yeah, well,
he's... Contractually, probably...
for sure, right?
Yeah.
With Secret Invasion and Secret War and all the stuff that's going on now where he's kind of replaying the Nick Fury character.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that role's going to kill him.
Oh, man. Well, that's going to be his,
his magnum opus.
Not magnum opus. What's the character that the actor, always takes with them all the way and then eventually that they hate it so much? Alec Guinness hated Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Near the end, he's like, I couldn't stand being that character anymore.
Yeah.
Hated him. It's like everybody has that one character they take way too far.
Yeah, I think he'll hate this more than Snakes on a Plane.
No, I like Snakes
on a Plane. I love Snakes on a Plane. Yeah.
Here's my question. So, and this is for everybody, not just for you. But with Jonathan Majors doing his whole, beating up his girlfriend thing, whatever it was, who knows if there are charges going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra Miller doing his weird, psycho down the street, flipping chairs and punching ladies in the street.
Yep.
They got rid of those guys, right? So
Marvel hasn't confirmed that they're getting rid of that guy.
They haven't confirmed it, but it could happen.
Could happen.
Here's my beef with all of it. why don't they just do what they do in comics? You don't need to have the same guy playing Kang or the same guy playing Hulk or Iron Man, whatever it is. Every other movie, you just get somebody new. You get a new directing team, a new writing team. You keep Feige. You keep, if Abhi Arad is there, all these guys who are in charge of like the overall story structure, the overall narrative is the same. But you bring in different writers and different pencilers.
There, I'll tell
like
you,
comic books.
Like, okay, yeah, exactly. I think that would work, but the but when Ant-Man first came out, they were drooling over this guy so much.
Well, for sure.
And like, there's
it was Loki when they first got.
Yeah, when they first got it, but when the Ant-Man, because Ant-Man was supposed to set off
the new phase,
Phase 5, right?
Yeah.
So it was starting off with this really shitty movie. And they said, yo, the fans are going crazy. And they panned around. There was like barely anybody there.
Right.
And then I was talking about, oh, he's the most charismatic man in the world. He has like, he's so great. All that. And then fast forward to now, they all have to eat their words.
Right. They suddenly like, have to go backtrack.
Exactly.
Or not even talk about how they pumped him up, which is unfortunate because like, if you look at Jonathan Majors' career, he is really good.
I know nothing about him.
God, he's great. He is great in Creed.
Mm-hmm.
He is really good in Loki. Mm-hmm. Yeah, incredible in Creed. He's great in Loki. That one Netflix movie, he was great in that, the Western.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Majors is really good. It is unfortunate if he did smack around his girlfriend, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, now they've got to backpedal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
Because he is very good.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened with him and his girlfriend. I have no idea.
Who knows? But, we don't know.
He's being dropped by everything.
Yep.
Ads, whatever it is. Marvel hasn't confirmed anything, but can they afford to drop him?
Well, there was David Hayter, I think, tweeted Victor Lucas on EP. Now we're getting nerdy as hell.
Oh, fuck.
So David Hayter, who's the voice of Solid Snake, he's a voiceover actor, writer, does a bunch of work. He was talking about how the idea is that you've sunk so much money into these guys that you can't just show up and cut them right now.
Yeah.
Like the reason Ezra Miller didn't get dropped right away, or they didn't shit all over him, like Warner didn't go out there and be like, okay, yeah, we're getting rid of
this. He's ensconced.
He is ensconced in the velvet that is this franchise.
Yeah.
And until the movie is out in theaters and about to hit video, you're not going to hear them say he's gone.
Yeah. Or like in the next movie, they kill him.
They kill him off.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the easiest thing to do is like, you know,
reset.
You don't even reset.
No, but like not reset, but like just recast.
You recast.
Rewrite. No. But that in itself is like, like do you hire new writers and stuff like that? They have an established team already.
No, you keep
that. That has to go with their whole narrative that Marvel is pushing right now.
No, you keep everybody. The only person you change is the director and the actor. That's it.
Yeah, because like if you look at every Marvel movie, if you look at the skeleton is the same for all of them. They just have different faces on them.
Look, man, I mean, like, guess what? Taika Waititi goes and does Ragnarok. It's good. It's awesome. Taika Waititi does not need to do Love and Thunder. He doesn't do another Thor movie. Somebody else comes in, a different Thor comes in. He's the same character. He is the same guy who's going to be in Endgame, maybe played by a different actor.
Okay, yeah. So I'll say this about that though. When people, because these Marvel movies are made for kids, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
So kids will equate that actor with that person. So if you replace them, they're going to be like, okay, how's this going to go down with kids?
No, it's fine, man. They'll get it. They'll be fine. I say you ignore their feelings entirely. That's the only way to go.
That's the only way to go. I totally agree. But they're going to be like, okay, what do we do now?
Yep.
So no, like,
you ignore them.
Yeah, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, kids are fickle. They'll ignore all of it entirely. Yeah. Kids will get over it way faster than some like 25-year-old vlogger blogger will, or like a 55-year-old nerd will. Like kids will get over it.
Yeah, I think kids are like more. They're going to go see an Iron Man movie. They're not going to see a Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Once the effects start rolling, they'll be on board.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you're kind of seeing it now with The Witcher, right? They're not going to change anything. Like, The Witcher series is The Witcher series.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened in season one is going to happen in the new Hemsworth season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to
affect. Is he the new...
Liam Hemsworth is the new Witcher. Yeah. So he's going to come in and do his thing. It's the same guy. Just different actor.
Oh, yeah. That I have no problem with. Yeah, absolutely.
I have no problem. You just recast. Because, like...
Yeah, you're right. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
They can do whatever they want, right? And nobody's gonna care. Yeah. You're not gonna watch it. But the thing is, like, the audience won't care.
Yeah.
If they do care, that's not who you're going for.
Yeah.
That's that vocal, like, review bombing crowd.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about Rotten Tomatoes anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Because Rotten Tomatoes lies on both sides. The audience review score sucks because like review bombers show up. And the critics review sucks because they're all paid shills. Everybody's on that critics review is a paid shill. It's a shit review. So none of it matters anyway.
Yeah. That's the thing what I like about shitty movies is that, especially like big popular tentpole movies, is when they're bad, I love watching some of my favorite reviewers just constantly make fun of those movies. It's just like they, because they critique it on a really good level.
Right. They're really good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said, like, I mean, we've mentioned him recently and today as well. Victor Lucas at EP is the best, because like, if he likes the content, he'll tell you it's good. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't like the content, he'll tell you it wasn't for him. Mm-hmm. And like, he doesn't talk a lot of shit. Like, he doesn't get into the gossip or the garbage, the crap and stuff. He gives you an honest idea. And that's why he's like Canada's number. I think he's the gold standard in Canada, mm-hmm. as far as like entertainment shows go and video game shows go. Yeah. He's the guy. Because it's never a matter of like, let me tell you 25 things that were wrong or ending explained or spoilers ahead.
Yeah.
He just gives you a breakdown of why he liked it or why it wasn't for him.
Yep.
I think that's the way to do it.
No, I know. I agree. He's a gentleman above all else.
He's a gentleman above all other things.
Yeah.
We're not shilling to get him on the show or anything. I haven't.
I had my fill. I met him.
I haven't sent him a message to be like, hey.
I had my meeting with him.
Did you have a meeting?
Yeah, I met him in Vancouver.
But was it like you guys had like a meeting?
Yeah, we did actually. I told him to sit down at Starbucks.
A full sit down, and there you go.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Yeah.
I think he's a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's a little fella.
Hmm? Like, he's not that big, but he's so super friendly.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, man. I grew up in that. Well, I didn't grow up in that show, but like out of high school, that was back when it was like Judgment Day in the States.
I think when I was,
it was like reviews on the run and EP.
Yeah, during my hardcore video game days.
Yeah.
When I was older, he was my Electronic Playground was my.
On the A channel days?
Yeah, it was like it was my go to. Yeah.
It was great, man. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Oh, the Canadian accent on The Simpsons. It's kind of making fun of that. The Oilers. The Oilers are in the playoffs.
Yeah, they played really well yesterday.
They played really well yesterday. They did everything yesterday right, which they did not do right in game one.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got your foot on the neck, you gotta leave it there. Like, yeah, you're smashing them, you gotta keep smashing them.
Yeah, and they still haven't gotten Connor McDavid got really good chances and he set up, he played pretty well. He didn't go on the score, get on the scoreboard.
Got some points, though.
Yeah, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins still hasn't gotten going yet.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's going to be a really great series. Actually, first round is full of great series.
There's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah.
Tampa and
Dallas. Toronto. Dallas and Minnesota is great.
5-1 for Winnipeg yesterday.
That's great.
Just rocking the world.
They destroyed.
Of the mighty Golden Knights.
Yeah, they killed Golden Knights.
Yeah.
And then Florida destroyed Boston, I think.
Florida beat Boston, and Boston, as per usual, started shitting on the Bruins almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then, that's why nobody likes you, Boston.
Yeah. And I think one of the best ones is New Jersey and New York.
Yeah,
that's a great series. Yeah,
I love that, like, across the water kind of war. Like,
awesome.
New York always seems to have, like, I just want Billy Joel on the piano. I want the Rangers playing the Devil. Like, I don't want to just be, like, gritty hockey.
Yeah, and just two teams that are so evenly matched. Like, those two teams are awesome. And, like, from an Oilers fan, that's just, you want to see those teams, like, go hard.
Well, I think, like, if you're an Oilers fan, I don't know about you, but, like, for me, like, I was, a default Rangers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was Oilers 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the Messier thing, right? When Messier showed up after Gretzky left.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to get you a cup. And he got us a cup.
Yep.
And then he went to the Rangers, like, what you going to do? He's like, I'm going to get you a cup.
Yeah, he was like the LeBron of hockey.
He was the LeBron of hockey, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they kind of, like, rebuilt the Oilers dynasty in New York, I didn't cheer for the Oilers that season.
Mm-hmm.
I cheered for New York that season because that was our Oilers team.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? So I'll always have a soft spot for the Rangers. Like, no matter, they can kind of do no wrong with me.
Didn't Glenn Sather go to that team?
Glenn Sather was coaching, man. Mm-hmm. I think he GM'd that team, didn't he?
You GM'd
like, he was there for a while. Like, mm-hmm. it was a glorious time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were all walking through the back of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Putting money in pockets. They're all sitting there in their cream-colored suits.
Yeah, I remember, like, in the 80s, my mom would, like, she, a lot of the teams would stay at the hotel where she was she's doing the accounting for.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, you know, she met, like, all the Islanders. She got a stick signed by Brian Trottier. And, wow.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, she said those guys were so nice. And, like, they were so polite. And then, and I just found I have a hockey stick signed by Wayne Gretzky.
Really?
I just found it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, Jari Kurri signed it too.
I mean, that's the thing.
Anderson signed it. Charlie Hunt it. Yeah, they all signed it, and I was like,
man,
yeah,
get that thing authenticated. That's
I'll never get rid of it. I'm gonna hold on to it.
You know, but it's kind of a nice thing to, like, framed on the wall.
Yeah,
like, authenticate, frame, put on the wall.
Yeah,
we were helping a buddy clean her house out, and then we were just looking at some hockey cards she had,
mm-hmm.
and she, how do you not know? Like, she had her brother's cards there, and that, I mean, this is like a big family with a bunch of, like, memorabilia and shit like that. like first year Gretzky cards, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 in a shoebox.
Yeah.
Like how do you not fucking know this? How do you not know this is there?
Yeah.
Like what is going on here? So I'm like, we're gonna go down to my buddy who's got that little shop, and we're gonna authenticate. We're gonna get these things graded, put them in little sleeves, and then you're gonna get a little bit of money in your pocket.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get a mint, but you're gonna get enough to not worry for like a little while about this move.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That's like the Action Comics number one. Stratovarius? It's like the whole thing where it's like you're in a garage sale and you're getting these things out of a box.
Yeah, you're like all of a sudden, garbage.
Yeah. Trash. Stratovarius? Homer. Homer played that character or that moment perfectly.
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah.
Man, I was talking about the idea of this is like completely off from all that. I was having this conversation about the idea of AI, how AI is suddenly having like leaps and bounds.
It's
kind of frightening.
I have it. I use it.
I mean, that's fine. Yep. I mean, you know, if you use it every day, for you especially, it's really good.
It's so like, it's so great.
I can't imagine how easy it is, like, you know, 6 prompts, getting an entire report ready to go.
Yeah, it's just like, you just tell them what to do, and you're like, you know what, I need this. I need this in 200 words.
Right.
And then it writes it out for me. I'll just copy and paste it, put it into Word, and then print it out. Good to go.
Kind of like put your own spin on it a little bit. Like
barely. I don't even do that.
Really? Is it that good?
It's that good.
Are you using GPT-4?
Yes.
Yeah. So it is really that. It is as good as.
Yeah, because nothing I'm doing is making it getting graded. So right. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just for me to like to.
Well, it's information.
Yeah, and then I just deliver it, and then like. Right. If I have to do a report on something like that, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just like, just give me a report based on this, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just a copy and paste, put it in there, then done. And then, yeah, actually I actually had a court order to like to prepare a report for something.
That's right, yeah.
I did it all in ChatGPT. I submitted it, and OHS accepted it.
They were fine with it.
They were fine with it.
Well, they just want to scheme info. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. They like, this is important. They said this was done so well. I was like,
okay.
Yeah.
Neat, chum. Well, so you know, I mean, how does it feel to you though? Like when you're using it, does it feel like just another tool, or does it feel like this is gonna like supplant people?
I think
it's gonna roll out and like knock people out of the workforce.
I'll say this. Okay, I'll say like, you know what, for me, it does this, and this is all I need it for. Mm-hmm. But for people who do this for a living, like writing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what, this could render this will either make their jobs easier or render them useless.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that tight?
Yeah.
So my concern always has been like more on the security side, right? So like once you get into where you can tell ChatGPT to write code.
Yeah.
Or write code that's going to help you get into somewhere you shouldn't be, like backdooring your way into systems.
Yeah.
And maybe like an operating system. Who knows, right? Are we going to see more of like hardware solutions as opposed to software solutions? Like, I mean, you've got these computers now that like people are just a lot of people now I'm here as well, people I talk to anyway, are like, they have an offline computer.
Mm-hmm.
They buy something. It's offline. They get what they want onto it from like either a Mac store or the Windows store or just from a disk. And they still do that because almost rarely you get that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they get that. They shut it down. It is completely offline from that point on. So all their system is on offline drive on an offline computer.
Yeah.
Like door locks. Like now you got door locks that you can just like tap your digits, your passcode on your computer, under your phone. It opens your door for you.
Yep.
Is that going to become a hardware solution again? Are we moving back to like keys and locks as opposed to software, like web-based solutions?
I think it's going to go circular. I think it's because we're going to be like, you know what, this? I think like, well, I think we should because like, you know, because we'll be like, you know, here's the scare. Am I going to get locked out of my house? If the software, like, there's a software glitch, like, mm-hmm. or there's they implemented, you know, a change where like you can do it, you can do a manual override on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you put that into place, like, you know what, like, it's like a car that has like electronic locks. Okay. Like, let's say like a Tesla, for example, right?
Right.
If electronics go bad or the software is glitchy and it fails, there's a manual override. So you can just like use a handle and just open your door.
Right.
Or something like that. Right.
No, but that's the one thing, right? That's you. When your software fails for you, but what if somebody maliciously overrides the software to get into your car or into your home when you're not there?
Yeah. So that's where like,
right?
There has to be some sort of like, and like for AI especially, I think that's why there has to be oversight.
There has to be oversight.
Yeah.
Because like, here's the thing. I trust a Gen Z kid to learn how to use this stuff to be malicious.
Mm-hmm.
I trust them for that. If I was going to put together a team, like an A team, of pieces of shit to hack like systems using ChatGPT, I'm not going to pick anybody over 45 unless I know that they can do the work.
Yeah.
You know, but like Gen Z kids are going to do it. But I don't trust them to use a Slim Jim to break into a car.
Yeah.
They don't even know what a Slim Jim is.
No, but they...
I don't trust them to use a bump key to get into a door lock.
Yeah, but they're more lethal from a computer than someone is with a gun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you have more hardware solutions, that's... Did we just lose video? I think we did. Oh, well, we had an issue writing to the card. That's fine. We're on audio anyway.
Okay.
Our audio is great. Okay. So, like, for me, that's the concern, right? You've got this now, this system that you can hack, but... The hardware solution is gonna like really roadblock them.
Yeah,
they don't know how to. They don't know how to.
No. They're
break just, into a house like that.
Yeah, they'll just like. Well, they, you know, they're probably as skinny as I am, so they're
right. Be well, like, I mean, I think you got a lot of size in these guys.
Yeah, so
I would imagine that you've got girth on most of the people who are trying to break into a house.
Yeah, if they try to break into a house, then there's so many ways you can go about it. Like, you know, are these houses like? If you could break into the locks, can you break into the security system? Are people going to be home? Is your home being monitored by is your home being monitored by your own phone? Like, and there's so many other ways to do it. Is that covered by another person's phone as well? Like your wife or your significant other?
Many people are on this app?
Yeah. How many people are using this thing? So is there a backup for that?
Right.
Whatever it is. Right. So like there's, you take a big risk on doing that, but you know, where does the liability lie?
Right.
Is it with the company that you got the locks from, whether it's Google Home or whatever it is? So like, are they liable in case there's a break-in?
I think it lies with you.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Knows? I think it's one of those like the onus is on me.
Yeah.
Like if I use it and it gets hacked, well then I kind of know what I'm using, right?
Yeah. Just get house insurance.
You can get house insurance, but then like, what if you've got your signed like 84 Oilers hockey stick on the wall?
And you're home?
And you're not home.
Oh, okay.
You're
clearly, I think if you're home, then you beat them to death with it.
You beat them to death with it. But somebody breaks in and takes that thing that your mother got for you when she worked in that hotel.
Yeah. Then I have no one to blame but myself.
You have no one to blame but yourself. Yeah, so that was my question. Like, do you have more hardware solutions now? I mean, I think I would imagine you would. You probably have more of these, like, you know, caveman-esque ideas.
Well,
how to lock your door?
Yeah.
Seinfeld door system?
Yeah. It also depends, like, you know, like how good is your firewall system?
How good is your firewall?
Yeah.
Once you get to that, though, I mean, like, whatever. Like, I know they're saying they're not implementing or working on ChatGPT-5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not doing it. They're not doing it because they're literally going to squeeze every dime they can out of 4.
Yeah.
Before they go to 5.
Yeah.
So 5 is going to come.
Yeah. I don't see myself, honestly, getting, like, smart locks and stuff like that or, like, something like that. I would not do that.
Yeah, like a keypad lock or like a phone lock.
I would like, you know, those Google right. Google ones, those smart locks where like you enter code and it goes like that. I wouldn't get that.
I don't have them and I wouldn't use
them. I wouldn't use them. I like key.
Yeah, a turnkey solution.
Yeah, turnkey solution.
Is the way to go.
It's a good way to go.
Roll up, put your key in the door, smashy, smashy, gone.
Yeah.
Oh, Hollywood is out of ideas. That was the next thing.
Hollywood is so out of ideas.
Hollywood is, they're doing a live action Moana. They're doing a live action Lilo and Stitch. The Moana. It's like that movie just came out.
Yeah, why would you,
like, it just came out.
Yeah, and then I guess there's that Lilo and Stitch. I guess the girl, the lady who they picked for the lead,
yeah,
said she doesn't look Hawaiian enough or something.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah,
while being Hawaiian.
Yeah,
they don't look Hawaiian enough.
The people always have fun.
Get that girl in the sun.
Yep.
That's some. Yeah, people always have some shit to complain about, man.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I don't like Hollywood anymore. I just like directors.
And that's and creators. Certain
actors, yeah.
Yeah, like even the actors, I can do without. Honestly, like, these days for me, that's a really good point. I think I trust, like, the Michael Mann thing. If Michael Mann says, I'm going to make a movie, James Gunn says, I'm going to make a Superman,
yep.
I trust them fully, and I don't trust if The Rock comes and says, hey, we should do this.
Yeah, there's certain actors, like, that I would respect, too. Like, let's say Leo. I'm like, if Leonardo DiCaprio is coming out with a movie, I know it's going to be of high quality.
Yeah, I mean, because he's not going to go with a shit team.
Exactly. Tom Hardy, I would go see a movie with him in it, right? Cillian Murphy, I would go see a movie with him in it.
Right.
So, like, all the guys who were in, like,
all the movies. Yeah.
Tom Cruise movie, I would go see a Tom Cruise movie.
The Nolan team.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to be entertained.
Yeah, but that's a creator or a creative team.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would follow a creative team. Yeah, a
creative team.
Rather than, like, say, like, I can't wait for the next this movie or something.
Timothy Chalamet joint. Like, I'm not looking for the next thing he's in, but if he's in a Michael Mann movie, I'm on board. If he's a Denis Villeneuve movie, like, I know it's going to be a good
performance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I will see Dune 2.
Yeah.
I will see Oppenheimer. I will see, what else is coming out this year? I'll see Super Mario Brothers. I'll see.
Right.
Because, like, those movies are made for They're not insulting our intelligence when they're making those movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like, that's all we seem to get now. Yeah. Honestly, there was a time in like 2009-ish when I got off comics altogether. Nine or 10. It was around the time they did that, Heroic Age at Marvel and, I think it was Final Crisis had just finished. I jumped off of everything. I was like, that's it for me in comic books. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was off Marvel first and I thought I was going to just become a straight up DC guy. But I'm definitely doing that now with the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're at the point now where, not to go back and beat a dead horse, but Marvel is doing that insulting my intelligence thing.
Yeah.
And DC seems to be like, there's going to be a payoff. We are Marvel phase one, day one.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust us. There's going to be a payoff in 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So and I'm on board with that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think speaking of beating a dead horse, I want to collect, I'm steadfast in this. And you have to help me with this. I want the entire series of Scalp Hunter.
Scalp Hunter was such a delightful find. So we should mention, yeah. Wizards Comics.
Yes.
Going out of business sucks. If you're still around, you should go and check them out.
Bed Bath Beyond, same thing.
Bed Bath Beyond, same thing. So we went to go to Wizards to look for some gem issues,
mm-hmm.
some great comics. And you found
Scalp Hunter. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, you'll never get that in 2023.
You'll never get that.
But I'm surprised you got in the 70s.
I know. So I'm wondering, like, where the hell do I find the entire series?
I was surprised that you didn't pick up the ones that you saw there.
There was only one.
It was probably a nickel. You should have grabbed it.
Yeah. I would.
Hindsight, they're still open. They're open for another month or so.
Yeah, because
I head down there.
I know. Yeah, it's like grab some. It's probably the only comic left there, but it's like. But I want his like. I want his Inception, how he became Scalp Hunter, to like where, you know what? We can't even put this guy in a comic book anymore.
Like when did they realize? You know, I think we're like even then, like that far back. So it looked like it was like maybe the mid-70s.
Maybe around that. Maybe around there. So yeah, but it looks like it's such a gem. I love old comics, like the way yeah.
Old cheesy comics.
I love those. Those are great. The artwork is great. Yeah, it's just it's awesome.
That's why, like, having watched Superman, I'm a huge Silver Age DC guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Silver Age of DC was just it was a glorious time. Mm-hmm. There's so much wild stuff happening. Like when you had Superman and Bizarro Jr. and like the all the different kinds of kryptonite that was showing up. Mm-hmm. Like there's this wild thing happening when you got that Earth 1, Earth 2 split. And Cal letter L became like the original Superman.
Yeah.
And Cal L EL was born into the Silver Age.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked so wild.
Yeah.
I had a comic once where Superman is looking into a projector to look back at Krypton from like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Like Triceratops that was chasing a dude up a glass tree.
Mm-hmm.
The Triceratops would show you your future on his like the disc on his head.
Yeah.
So the guy is watching himself get eaten by the Triceratops.
Oh, really?
Like crazy wild shit like that happened in Silver Age DC. It was fun stuff. Whereas Marvel was telling they were like more mature already by then.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, Galactus, Spidey. They're all way more mature in the Marvel Silver Age.
Yeah.
DC was just zany.
They were. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think there's more. DC was just like when I was looking through Scalp Hunter, I just looked at it and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. I mean, they were doing
wild great. Shit. Yeah. I want to buy them. Like, where are the rest of them?
Yeah.
And I could only find one. I'm like, do I have to dig through this whole section? I'm like,
you should have dug, man. I wonder at what point they finally realized, like, we got to get this guy off comics. Like, Scalp Hunter issue 8 will be the last one.
Yeah. If there's only 8 issues, I will frame all 8. Yeah.
Pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. We kind of hit a bunch of stuff there, buddy.
Okay.
Talking about how preppers aren't weird anymore after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this whole thing about prepping and nobody in the comment section was shitting on preppers anymore because almost everybody now is like, yeah, prepping is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Have a supply of food that can last you 72 hours. Have some, it's important, especially now in Montreal. When Montreal got frozen in for, what was it, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like a million people out of power?
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like if you think about it, sorry to cut you off.
No, I mean, that's...
Yeah, like, ahead, no, you're right. Because like, okay, look at like what happened through this whole, since like October
mm-hmm.
to like now. Look at everything that happened in Vancouver, how much big snow they got.
Right.
Even California.
Right.
Look how much snow Calgary got.
Mm-hmm.
Look how much the East Coast got.
Right.
Look at Edmonton.
Yeah, we got off easy.
Yeah, like Ontario's still getting snow on the way.
Yeah.
We're in spring. It was plus 18 there a couple of days ago. Granted, maybe. we got like a couple of hours of like heavy like rain. It had a little some sleet on it. 3 hours later, it was gone.
We needed that moisture.
Yeah, and like, but now, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
we so, needed the moisture.
And, we got away with murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well,
pretty much.
Yeah.
We killed winter.
We killed winter. Yeah, we everything went down to Calgary.
Yeah.
Moved into Montreal. And then everything in Ontario and the East Coast, And West Coast just got like absolutely shit on from like from a snow point of view.
It was brutal, man. Yeah. I mean, the entire country got ravaged. And I remember reading like at the beginning or the like late in summer last year how we were in for a rough winter in Alberta. And we did not see it.
We didn't see it.
I'll tell you what, a huge reason I didn't see it is I bought a backpack leaf blower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got like 1,000 CFM.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would snow and I'd rip that thing up and just stand by the end of my driveway and blow all the snow into the street.
Yeah.
I was doing my street. I was doing the neighbor's walk. And then the neighbor next to him is a little bit like physically unable to do his.
Mm-hmm.
Older guy. I'd hit his too. 10 minutes. I've got 3 sidewalks and 3 driveways. Done.
Yeah.
Clean. Did not give a shit. Didn't take a shovel. Didn't hurt my back.
Yep.
Nothing. So like I felt like I really cheated.
Yeah, we got away with it, and there's nothing on the way now. So
yeah, I mean we're looking good.
Yeah, we're looking good.
Time to get the drones out.
Get the bikes out.
Trying to get the baseball glove is gonna go back in the truck. A ball is gonna go back in there.
Yep, for sure.
It's time to really kick it up a notch.
Yeah, got my bike back. It looks like a brand new bike now. Thank you.
Like a little refurbishment of that thing, right? It cleans all up.
$240.
Jeez, yeah, worth it.
Totally worth it. I bought it in 2016 or 17, and I've never serviced it.
Yeah,
and they were like, yeah, so it was worth the investment.
I mean, you gotta service your bike.
Yeah.
You're holding the handlebars a little too tight.
Yeah, come from a guy who doesn't press his bike.
Pressing the pedals a little bit too hard. Gotta service that bike, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta get on in there.
Wants a Kuohara.
Make it feel good. That's all I want.
Yeah, I know.
I just want a Kuohara with the little pegs in the front. I'm gonna do some hops.
Yep. Well, what's good? I have an extra mountain bike.
We've used yours a couple times.
Yeah, use mine.
We should do that more.
Yeah.
We should definitely do a lot more of that kind of stuff. We should I was going to end it off, but I didn't do the thing where I ask you how your week went.
It was good. Just, just busy with work. And and then next week I have tons of testing to do, which will be good because it was one thing over and over. And then, I'll be good to go next week, and then I'm on call this weekend, but
that's all right.
Just get it out of the way and then just plow on ahead.
Well, we've got a whole weekend's worth of activities to partake in. It seems like it's gonna be a fun weekend coming up. The games happening. I've got a few things planned for the juniors to run around and play around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta get my lawn done, so it's a busy weekend. So I think we're gonna push off this weekend, come back hard next week.
Yep.
Because that seems to be the way we do things around here.
Yep, that's how we roll.
That's how we roll, homie.
Yep.
We're probably not on video today because like the camera crashed a couple times.
Yeah.
That's my own fault.
Memory card.
I format every time. Today I did not. No format today.
Well, that's a Shakespearean tragedy.
Mostly Hamlet, a little Othello.
Yep.
Absolutely none of the King Lear.
No King Lear.
Yeah. No dead children in this one.
Yeah, there's no dead children.
poor Ophelia.
Poor Ophelia.
Poor Ophelia and that friggin' ghost. There's always an Ophelia. There's always a ghost.
Yeah. Read some Shakespeare.
Read some Shakespeare. We did. Yeah. That's how we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Idiots. Yeah. No, you're great people. I shouldn't have called you idiots. I don't know you. You listen to us over here.
Yeah.
So that's the music. That's the show. I would imagine you have something you want to use to end off on. they can't even see it.
Yeah.
Because the camera died off.
Yeah. So peace out.
Peace out.